Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long? And wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong? No, it's gonna make it that much better. Well, that's right, we're the show that explores the animated sitcom The Simpsons from seasons 11 and beyond. Why 11 and beyond, you ask? Well, we know that there are plenty of other podcasts out there that explore the quote-unquote golden years of The Simpsons, that being seasons 1 through 10, and we want to explore the later seasons to find out the good things in that happen in there and to discuss the bad things and the other things that may happen in this sitcom. I am half an annoyed grunt boy, Steve, and I'm not very good, so I can't do this on my own. So with me, as always,
the Martian Manhunter,
John Jones,
Barry Allen,
The Flash,
John Stewart,
The Daily Show.
Thank you. Half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig. Steve, says here in the notes that you want me to ask you if you purchased something new.
Yes, Craig, please do.
Steve, did you buy anything?
I sure did. I purchased myself a new laptop computer from the Apple Corporation.
So no more Dells?
That's right. Little behind the curtain. The previous computer that I bought was a $70 webbook that Craig smartly found online, and I bought, and it was did great work for like over a year, but I think I got my $70 out of it. So it was time for an upgrade, and yeah.
Yeah, blame me.
No, I appreciate it. That was a great computer. Of the cheap, crappy laptops that I've had in the past, that has definitely been the best one, but I feel like a real boy now.
Yeah. Now you have all the... Apple has you all now, right? With you got an iPad, you got the iWatch, you got the iPhone, now you have the actual computer.
Yep. So I've got the whole lineup of things, and I know that there's a lot of people who are against Apple, and that's fine. I just, I like the products.
Now, on this show, I just now thought about it. See, when usually you buy a new Apple product, especially like computers, don't you get like Apple TV for free for like a month or something?
Not just a month, a whole year.
This sounds like an ad for Apple, but it's not. I just now realize, Steve, I keep telling you to watch Ted Lasso. That's on Apple TV.
That's right, Craig. And I did. I watched the first episode, and you are correct. It is a delight. It's a really fun show. Jason Sudeikis is just such a sweet guy in it. And it's just real joyful.
Who does Ted Lasso remind you of?
Ned Flanders, without like all the Christianity.
Right. Looks great. Like him, acts like him. Hey, that's a great segue, Steve. Speaking of Simpsons, let's talk about The Simpsons.
All righty.
Is Ned in this one?
He might be. Let's think. Let's go back in time to a time when there were times. Let's go all the way back to 2017. Specifically, February 19th, 2017. Craig, what was the number one movie in the box office during that time?
Well, you know it. I know it because we saw this movie together.
That's right.
I wonder if we actually saw it like this weekend, or not that weekend this episode aired.
That's very possible.
Yeah. The movie, of course, is the Lego Batman movie, which was a very good, very good, funny movie.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I would argue that it's as good, if not better, than the original Batman movie. Or Lego movie.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say.
You know, I haven't watched it in some time. We have to go back and revisit it.
Yeah, I just remember it being a lot of fun.
Right. How about music? Were we having fun there?
Oh, sure. The kids were certainly bopping, but not to this song, because it's a little grown up. The number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room. My bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. Well, I'm in love with your body. You know, if Ed Sheeran were a real good lover, he'd be in love with her mind, not just her body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's cancel Ed Sheeran already.
Yeah. I've got an eye on you.
Is that a song of his?
No, he just has a wonky eye.
Oh, all right.
Which is fine.
More wonkier than Mayweather.
That's right. Craig, we're talking today about the Cad and the Hat. What happens in that, Craig?
Well, Bart ruins Lisa's perfect day out of jealousy and becomes haunted by the manifestation of his guilty conscience. And then in a B story, we have Homer is revealed to be a master chess player, which helps him bond with his dad. All right, Steve, I think we should take a break, go watch this episode, and then come back and discuss.
That sounds like a plan. We'll be right back.
We talk for hours and hours about the sweet and the sour and how your family's doing okay. And leaving, getting a taxi, kissing the backseat, tell the driver, make the radio play.
And we're back. Today we're talking about The Cad in the Hat, the 15th episode of the 28th season. It originally aired on February 19th, 2017. It is episode 611 in the show's run. Your nerd code is WABFO8. It was written by Ron Zimmerman, directed by Stephen Dean Moore, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
All right, Ron Zimmerman, a.k.a. Bob Dylan, right?
That's right.
So Bob Dylan wrote this episode.
No, hey.
That's Rob Zimmerman, not Ron. I'm going to say this off the just off the top of the show here. This is my favorite episode that Ron Zimmerman ever wrote of The Simpsons.
I think I'm going to agree with you.
Because it is the only episode that he wrote.
That's right.
He's also he's a TV writer, producer. Some of his most notable credits include Seventh Heaven for producer, writer, Michael Richards Show.
He's got some good company.
Yeah. And of course, the hit Pam Anderson show, VIP.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say Stacked.
Is that a show?
It was a sitcom on the Fox network featuring Pam Anderson, and she owned a bookstore or worked in a library.
Oh, I think I remember that one. Yeah.
Because like the books are stacked, but so are her knockers.
Right. That literally sounds like a joke the Simpsons writers would have wrote when like the Simpsons are watching TV.
Yeah.
Also, one more was Action. Do you remember Action? One last
with
season.
Jay Moore.
Jay Moore, Ileana Douglas.
Douglas, yeah.
I never watched it, but I heard it was actually like pretty good.
It felt like prestige comedy, like on a premium network, but on Fox.
So it would have been better, like if it was like HBO or Showtime.
I mean, there would have been like nudity.
Yeah.
I just imagine a lot of butts.
Jay Moore.
Yeah.
Nice. What? I've never really heard that name in a while.
I know. Where did he go?
Oh, because he was in Go. I get it.
Yeah.
He actually still has credits to his name, like the Mangina Dialogues. It's a podcast. Wait, TV series? I don't know what that is.
That sounds, yeah. He just seems like he might be like, I could see him being like a men's right activist or.
Maybe he was at the riots with comedian actor Jay Johnston.
Oh, yes. Mr. Shows.
Jay. You know, I've been rewatching like Sarah Silverman program and I see him on playing as the cop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of funny. I mean, yeah. It's not funny at all. It's just, oh boy.
He does always play a cop though.
Yeah. But I love the Sarah Silverman program. He was great on it.
I know.
Everyone was great on that show.
Steve Agee, so good.
I think that was, and Brian was saying, I think that was like, even though Brian and Steve Agee aren't gay in real life,
mm-hmm.
they played like the most realistic, like gay couple, not realistic, but they played like a positive gay couple that weren't like the flamboyant stereotype gays.
No, they're just people who happen to like to have sex with one another.
Yeah.
No, that was a great show. I love that show.
Yeah. Well, all right. Enough of Silver Silverman. I don't know how we got there. Let's talk about The Simpsons, Steve.
All righty. Well, the title, The Cad in the Hat, is a reference to, Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat, which those liberals will probably take away.
Yeah. I feel like we talked about Dr. Seuss last week.
Yeah. And by liberals, of course, I mean the publishing company owned by the estate of Dr. Seuss. And it's not that book. It's the six books that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah. I should check storage to see if all my old kids' books are there with any of those books that I can sell them on eBay. I'll get Ted Cruz to sign them first and then
there you go.
Raise millions. Well, we got our title gag.
Do tell.
We got Abe Lincoln there and George Washington flying towards each other in hot air balloons. And Lincoln's balloon is colored red, reading vote Lincoln. And Washington's balloon blue colored, reading vote Washington. They collide each other, causing the balloons to burst.
All righty.
What a weird.
Yeah. I have questions about it because, like, are they asking us to vote for one or the other?
And they weren't in the same time period.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is February 19th. What are we voting for?
I assume for President's Day.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I guess.
Because it would have dropped on the 19th. That probably would have, the next day would have been President's Day, maybe. Yeah.
But it is weird to have two people who don't know what hot air balloons are. I don't even know when hot air balloons became a thing. Well, Washington would definitely be confused by it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably have a nice short couch gag then.
I guarantee.
Yeah. So the family sits down on the sofa.
Sure.
And that's it. Oh, wait. Homer notices then that the iconic sailboat painting is missing. and Marge, in a homage to the Big Lebowski, says that the art really tied the room together. But Melissa, she sarcastically dismisses it as a derivative amateur seascape. But Bart suspects that another animated show may have stolen the painting. This causes Homer to leap off of couch and into action. The view rotates to break the fourth wall, and the now two-dimensional Homer jumps from the Simpsons set to another. Bart then suggests that it's possible that he may have sold the painting on Craigslist.
You know, Lisa's kind of a jerk there to dismiss that art because her mom painted that. It's been established.
Exactly. She also has a closet full of them.
Yeah. I guess it keeps going, right? Because we follow Homer as he steps out into the world. It appears to be a South Park parody. I mean, it's not 100% screen accurate, the drawings. But as he puts it, a third grade shoebox diorama. And Homer asks if the off-model kids, if they stole the painting. And we can't understand them because there's just a bunch of angry bleeps. Mm-hmm. Probably swear words, Steve.
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of poo-poos and no-nos. Homer then heads to the next animated set, that of the claymation California Raisins, who are singing on the beach. They play a soulful song about being in the cookies that you hate and being the unpleasant surprise when you trick-or-treat. Homer responds to their ditty with loud boos, yelling that snacks should be bad for you. The dried clay grapes attack Homer, but Homer fights back with a bunch of roundhouse punches. He takes a bite out of one of them and spits it out, and then throws another raisin off the set. When the raisin lands, it grabs for a lamp, which falls, causing the whole set to go up in flames. The raisins in the sun melt, revealing their T2-like skeletons.
Interesting choice, the California Raisins.
Yeah, especially in 2017.
We haven't seen in 30 years.
Exactly.
But I think it's because of the next act there, which he jumps into a bedroom and points out it smells like comic books and loneliness. And we see the nerd character from Robot Chicken, voiced by Robot Chicken co-creator Seth Green.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming then that the Robot Chicken company, well, Stupid Monkey, that's their production company. That's right. I'm assuming they're the ones who created this whole couch gag, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. I love Robot Chicken.
It's a great show.
Yeah. The Robot Chicken Nerd Kid displaying the new piece of memorabilia, which is, of course, the sailboat. He hasn't been this happy since he was the top bidder for a Ziploc bag full of Jonathan Frakes' beard. That's, of course, Commander Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Also host of Sci-Fi Channel's Ripley, Believe It or Not.
And I think he was like on a soap opera before that Star Trek.
Seems about right.
Now he's a director of Star Trek. Anyway, so before the geek can finish his thought, Homer grabs the painting and is running back through the flaming beach set where he steps through the raisin blood, which I think is funny. He's like, raisin blood. It sounds like raisin bran. And then he's, you know, going through the South Park set, finally arrives back to the living room, only to find Lisa's replaced the vacant spot on the wall with Vermeer's woman with a pearl earring, Simpsonized, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So Homer presents the return sailboat back to where it was, and Marge responds with a bleeped, oh, fuck. That was great.
Yeah.
I think Marge has a couple of good lines in this episode. Spoilers.
I think so. A little bit of trivia for you. The nerd in the robot sketch, in the robot chicken sketch, was watching on his computer the previous Robot Chicken Simpsons couch gag, also produced by the same company.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was the couch gag studio. That was about 45 minutes.
That's right. We'll see you next week. Now, our episode proper finally begins with Bart and Lisa sitting on a couch. Bart is sporting a V-neck sweater and tie, while Lisa is wearing a smart white dress. They offer a When Harry Met Sally style intro to our tale.
Bart and I haven't always been the best of friends. And we're here to tell you a story of a time when we really didn't get along. But we found our way. And we like each other better than ever!
Way to spoil the ending, Nerdburger.
Nerdburger.
It all began on the hottest summer on record.
I like how they're pulling off some classic Full House disses with a Nerdburger.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because that's exactly what I thought of when I heard the word Nerdburger.
Oh, my Lanta. Trying to think of all the other DJ and Stephanie isms. What would a nerd burger be? Besides like the candy nerds, that'd be stupid.
Yeah. I feel like in the 80s, it would be like a tofu burger.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because it's like more futuristic.
Tofu. Future food.
Yeah. Just don't tell the Japanese who have been using it for thousands of years.
Yeah. All right. I'm not feeling creative, so I'm going to just go with you on that one.
Fair enough.
You're right. It makes sense. I was going to say I want with the candy nerds in it.
That would. I can see people doing that.
All right. Well, there we go. We're off to a start. We cut to the beaches of Springfield Bay. the site of the documentary Killing Nemo. Mayor Quimby is announcing that after years of pollution, he can now state that the waters are once again safe to swim in. The crowd's cheering, but the mayor elaborates by saying that the beach is no longer cleaner. It's just that they've lowered the safety standard, which still pleases the crowd. I assume Springfield's now in Texas.
Yeah, that sounds okay. About right.
Even Lenny's excited and he stands up in the bay, but he's covered in hypodermic needles.
Yay!
Someone's getting his heroin high.
Mm, and one of those could be the vaccine. You never know.
Never know. But Quimby cuts the ribbon on the bay and throws the scissors over his shoulders into the water where they melt instantly.
Ooh, I've got a blender for you, Greg. Thanks. At the bay, Dr. Hibbert's daughter is wearing a one-piece swimsuit, but the crowd cheers. She's in wearing a two-piece swimsuit.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
We then pan out to Homer and Lisa on the sofa, watching the events unfold on TV. Inspired, Homer suggests the family have a day at the beach. Bart responds by saying that he has all the beach he wants with his handheld video game, Enzio Beach Invasion.
Yeah, so Bart's playing that first-person shooter game. We get a Wilhelm screen, and looking over Bart's shoulder is Grandpa, and he says that the game is nothing like the war he experienced before he surrendered to a take that's pointed at him. And then he tells Bart that he'll sneak into the German infantry first so they won't know it's a trap.
Oh, smart Grandpa. So we then go to the crowded beaches of Springfield Bay, where a snake jailbird is picking the pockets of his pants left behind, scoring wallets, keys, and even a Movado watch. Ooh. Meanwhile, Bart and Lisa have constructed a large sand sculpture of a head around the head of sleeping Homer. The rest of his body is buried in the sand. Bart takes a large ball of seaweed and tosses it through the hole on the top of the sculpture, and the kelp then falls out of the nostril of the Sandman, landing on Homer's head like a wig of seaweed snot. Surrounding beachgoers laugh at the spectacle, which causes Homer to wake up, surprised by being made fun of. A drunk, houseless man says that it's the most disgusting thing he's ever seen before retiring to his blanket, which is located in the rotted corpse of a beached whale. Kind of gross.
The seaweed booger, right?
Yeah, it's a booger.
I gotta say, that's, you know, he did a pretty good job constructing that giant face, and he had to, you know, dig a hole from the head all the way to the nostril. Maybe Bart had Lisa like kind of dig out. I don't know, just, you know.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, that's some really nice, like, constructural integrity.
And, like, it's pretty big. Like, they used a lot of sand. I don't know.
Also, if you look
and at the bury desert, Homer.
On the right, the woman appears to be topless.
Oh, and like, yeah, probably.
In the background, so, yeah, that's something.
So, okay, so then I will assume that all that mound of sand is the stuff they dug up to bury Homer.
Right.
It's a lot of sand. Well, Homer is pretty fat.
He's a big guy.
So, all right. I just think it's a funny scene. I don't know if it's like, haha funny, but it's just weird.
Yeah.
Creative kids. Who's that face look like? I'm going to say it looks like the top of Lenny's face. Oh, maybe top of Carl.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Homer scolds his children, which I like that because it reminds me of, you know, like that the kid who always like pulled pranks or would make fun of everybody. Mm-hmm. And then when you would make fun of or pull a prank on that kid, he would get so defensive. Like, God, it's not funny. God, stop it, guys.
Stop it, guys. Yeah.
Like, he could dish it, but can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was me. Anyways, oh yeah, Homer scolding his damn wiener kids.
A booger, real mature, guys. Real mature. A booger. A human booger, indeed.
I love the way that Bart and Lisa laugh at Homer saying booger so much.
But don't you think it undermines the emotional stake of this episode, Steve?
One could argue, yes, but...
But we're not here to argue.
Or are we? Oh, no.
Sure. All right. Well, so the family is walking on the boardwalk there, and they go to Sunblock Sam's, the What You Forgot shop. Bart digs through some temporary tattoos where he passes on a dolphin tat for being too weak, and he passes on a skull for being too cliche. And he sees one for I'd rather be fishing, but he says it's not true.
That one kind of works better as a bumper sticker, I think.
Yeah. Still because funny, though.
Unless you're like, what if you're like have that tattoo and then you go with a buddy fishing?
Right.
It makes your tattoo null and void.
That's true. You probably have to wear a long sleeve or a band-aid over it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming you got it on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it has like, I'd rather be fishing ... for compliments.
Yeah. Or you can get it on like your, like on the tramp stamp.
Yeah.
So seems weird. When somebody's having sex with you from behind, they can be reminded that that person would rather be fishing.
Or maybe the screwee or screwer would also rather be fishing. Like, oh, yeah, I don't want to fuck this person. I'd rather be fishing.
Yeah. So then they just stop their coitus, hop in the truck.
And both go fishing. Huh. Cool. You're right. It does make sense for a tattoo instead of a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Whatever. Finally lands onto the perfect piece of the short-lived ink there, Steve, and it says, the bone. Bart moves his hand to reveal the rest of the ink, and the bone is exactly what he is, and that's bad too.
That's right.
So Bart happily walks away with his new purchase, passing by one of my favorite visual gags here, a display of novelty mini license plates, all with the name Bart.
Nice homage. Great. And it's also the exact spot where you'd find those.
Yeah.
In those beachside shops.
Those beachside shops. Yeah. There's like eight of them and they all sell the same stuff.
Uh-huh.
So you think they're like a front for narcotics.
I think that's pretty possible. Anyway, meanwhile, Lisa is pursuing the hat display when she finds a yellow chapeau with a red trim. She admires herself in the mirror, where she is then transported to a fantasy world as the Beach Boys' Wouldn't It Be Nice begins to play.
Let's talk about color, Steve.
Okay.
It's weird, like, the juxtaposition of the yellow skin and the yellow hat with the red band. I don't know.
Yeah. Especially since Lisa normally wears a red dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just looks like an extension of her hair.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, just a little lighter yellow.
But yeah, you're right. It's interesting that you would choose to wear the yellow hat with the yellow.
Well, all I'm saying is, like, it was interesting for the animators or whoever the director maybe was, like, chose the yellow as the color to use. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. And weirdly enough, there's a scene later on where they're in the kitchen and there's like five different shades of green that I noticed that I'll point out maybe if I remember. But yeah, it's an interesting choice.
All right. Well, so in Lisa's fantasy there, she's floating through the air. She's leaving a rainbow trail behind her. She passes by an out of order mechanical horse, which then transforms into a winged unicorn. Lisa mounts the magical steed. She uses her rainbow powers to turn hamburgers into broccoli for us. Actually, I love broccoli, but
broccoli's good.
Yeah, broccoli is good. I feel like broccoli's one of those few that, like, you know, steam it, boil it, broil it. I like it all.
It's all good, man.
Deep fry it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'd still rather have a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
My nerd burger is going to be broccoli burger.
I like it.
Because broccoli's brain food. Is that what they say about broccoli?
I think so. And you could see like a nerd eating some broccoli.
Yeah. Those nerds and their broccoli. Let's go beat them up after the podcast.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, so then after she turns the hamburgers into broccoli, she turns Bart into a blue recycling bin, and it's full of empty soda cans. Hmm. And then we get some weird looking dude. I don't know.
I don't know.
Some orange buffoon.
Yeah, he is kind of a menace, like a clown.
Yeah. It's a former apprentice host, Donald Trump. He's on his cell phone tweeting. That's dated. You can't do that.
Nope.
Anyway, she turns him into... Actually, all she does is she has his clothes removed and it's revealed what he really is a naked orange troll doll.
Mm-hmm. And his genitals are the exact same size.
So Lisa then returns to reality and says, I'll take it to no one in particular. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
When she says, I'll take it, she literally takes it. She doesn't pay for it. She literally steals the hat. That's my theory.
I like it. Yeah.
She just walks out the door.
Maybe that's like the cosmic lesson of this.
Right. Maybe she just like literally said, I'll take it. And she's like, I'm just going to steal it.
And so karma caught up with her.
Ah.
And the events that ensue throughout this episode are because. So it's not actually about Bart learning a lesson. You may have just cracked this episode wide open for me.
And we learn later that Shauna is the one that's working there. So she probably saw Lisa walk out and she's like, I don't care.
Right.
All right. Yep. Solved.
There we go.
Lisa's a thief.
Damn dirty thief. Well, back on the beach, Maggie is sticking her pacifier into her father's belly button as he sleeps. A few steps away, Bart is applying his temporary tattoo to his arm. We cut quickly to see Apu walking his children using an octopus as a leash, which is interesting. Then Bart decides to hop in the water with an enthusiastic Geronimo. Once Bart gets wet, though, he takes a moment to admire his new tat, but it falls off his arm and neatly into the ocean. I really like the way it, like, maintained the letter. Like, the way it fell off his arm and floated by was kind of cool. It goes neatly into the ocean. Bart's upset because it was supposed to be water-resistant, but it resisted nothing. Then Lisa floats by, where she's admired by two adult men who are surfing.
Whoa! Dope hat!
And check out my gnarly new tat!
Oh. Fair, I'm bad to the bone!
Maybe he's crying so he can eat dog food and cry tears of dog food, and Santa's little helper will come. Anyway, so back on the boardwalk, Homer is distracted by some bikini-clad women playing volleyball while grunting loudly. Marge tries to stop horny Homer, but he claims to be just watching the sports. But doubtful Marge asks her husband the score of the match, and Homer replies that the boobs are beating the butts. Marge is unsure if that's the actual terminology, but Homer points to the scoreboard that actually says official score. Boobs 12, butts 9. Frustrated, Marge tells Homer to watch people playing chess instead. Steve, we're fans of volleyball.
Sure.
For volleyball teams, are you a fan of the boobs team or the butts team?
You know, I know that they're a little behind, but I always like butts. So Homer watches as old Jewish man and Jasper go head-to-head playing the literal sport of kings, chess. Where Homer questions Jasper's move.
What do you know?
Checkmate, It's the only mate I haven't buried.
Hey, Blobby Fisher, you're up.
Do you even know the names of the pieces?
Of course. There's the king, Mrs. King, the lightbulb babies, the mini ashtray, slit face, and who could forget Dr. Horse?
Want to put a 20 on it?
Make it a 22. Checkmate. Another victim of the Budapest Gambit.
How can Dad play chess? He can't even remember the rules to chutes and ladders.
I do so.
You always think ladders go down.
You can go down a ladder.
Oh, God, not this again. Homer, did you learn to play chess?
The truth is, my dad and I used to play.
A couple things from that. Really enjoyed old Jewish man's line of checkmate, and that's the only mate I haven't buried. It was so dark.
So dark.
Marge at the end, probably one of my favorite lines there with Homer, like, you can go down ladders playing chutes and ladders. Like, not this again. Like, they've had this conversation. I think that was great.
And also Dan, like, sneaking in, I go ladders, down ladders all the time, just kind of like in the under.
Yep.
Is great. And also, I happen to just love his names for the chess pieces because they all make sense. You got King, Mrs. King, just the Queen, the little guys, the light bulb babies,
Bonds. Yeah.
Yeah. Mini ashtray, slit face, and Dr. Horse. It's all good. That makes me very happy.
I was wondering if he would have, like, maybe as a joke when you got to the Dr. Horse, he was like, and the Knights. Just the actual piece. I don't know. But the other one, Dr. Horse, is funny. The chutes and ladder argument, I agree. You could go down a ladder.
It's, what one would say that.
How would you?
The most important part of it is going down.
I don't know if I have ever actually played chutes and ladders.
I don't think I have in probably 35 years.
I hope so.
I don't know. It's not like we get around on a game night.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know if I ever played it as a kid.
Yeah.
Did you ever play chess?
Yes, I played it a little bit with my father.
Oh.
With similar results.
What's your preferred opening method?
That's where I lost at chess, because there's like one move that you can do in the beginning and then the game's over.
Well, there's so many openings.
I would usually move my pawn. I think knight's pawn open two or whatever.
The Roy Lopez is one of the more common ones to, is a good one to open with, Steve. That's one of my favorites.
I always like the Mario Lopez.
Yeah. I always see you more of as a French defense kind of guy. Maybe a little Scandinavian defense. Have you ever tried the Vienna game?
I've had Vienna sausages.
There's the King's Gambit.
I haven't even seen that six's Queen's Gambit.
What about the Slav's defense?
It was busy and I couldn't do my laundry. No, wait, that's the Slav's defense.
Have you ever tried the bird's opening?
The cloaca?
How about the Polish opening?
You mean the mesh of the screen door?
Well, it's actually a pawn to b4. But yeah, sure.
Okay.
You know, one of my favorites is the Trompowski attack.
Ooh,
it's a good one.
Vile.
Yeah. Have you ever done the scotch game?
I definitely played some games with scotch.
Yeah, it's just where you drink scotch and you just throw the board onto your opponent and said, fuck you.
Oh, that's my dad's favorite move.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Not enough chess talk. Well, we've talked about chests and chess.
Yeah. Basically, I know how to move the pieces, but I'm not good at the strategy.
Probably a hot minute ago, maybe a year ago, I think pre-pandemic, I was like, I'm going to get into chess. And like, I even got like a chess board that was electronic, and I don't know how, I never knew how to use it. I thought like maybe I couldn't get it to start because I thought it was like I had the pieces set up and it was supposed to, I could play with a computer built mm-hmm. into the board. Like it was going to say pawn to knight four, but right. I don't think it does that.
Oh,
I thought it would like automatically move the pieces, but I'd have to move it for it. Oh. I don't know. I'm just dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know how to move. I know how to move.
He knows how to move.
I know how to move, but I'm no Wesley So, okay?
And you never will be, Craig.
I'm no Richard Rappaport. I'm no Hikaru Nakamura. I'm no Alexander Gershchuk. I'm no Liren Ding. There's only other some chess person that I could think of.
What about Wai Yi or Shura Shikhar Ganguly or Alexander Sherman or Zhu Chen or Valerie Lilov?
I would say I'm pretty equal to a Matthew D. Sadler.
He's yeah, that
ranked 43. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I think that's your, yeah, maybe more of a Pal Benko.
I see you as a Luke J. McShane from England.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He and I are mates. We
chess. Anyway, so Homer flashes back to his childhood home. And in the kitchen, there's a pile of dirty dishes, but neither young Homer or Abe can be bothered as they're both engrossed in their chess match. They study the board as the cat clock on the wall ticks, its eyes moving rhythmically to each sound, and Homer's eyes follow the clock, causing him to end up in Dr. Hibbert's office. So the aforesporting good doctor, not that one, just says, "That's Jive Man," and we jump back to present day. You know, I always assumed like Homer and Hibbert were about the same age, but I guess not.
Yeah, because Hibbert must be like 65.
Yeah. So anyways, Homer doesn't want to talk about his past, and the eyes once again dart back and forth.
And that's kind of the end of the eye thing.
Yeah.
As their day at the beach wraps up, the Simpsons head to their car. On their way, Dolph, Kearney, and Nelson ride by on their bikes. Dolph compliments Lisa's sweet lid, and Bart interjects that he's bad to the bone, but the bullies see no proof of that. So Bart flings a rock at a seagull, who then attacks Bart. Nelson laughs as Bart is getting beat up by a beach turkey.
Hey, Bart deserves it.
Yeah.
Don't be mean to animals.
Especially birds. Birds are cool.
Well, and they're just dinosaurs, Steve.
Exactly. You wouldn't punch a dinosaur. And you wouldn't download a car.
I think I would download a car.
No, I totally would. It'd be awesome.
We do have a 3D printer, Steve.
Oh, vroom, vroom.
Yeah. I'm going to download another planet to live on.
Whoa.
So on the ride home, Lisa blissfully falls asleep on Bart's shoulder, with her new hat landing on his lap. He notices the hat says Sunny on the inside and has a thought. So the family car then pulls into the drive-thru of a Krusty Burger, which happens to be next to a city dump. Maybe that's where they get the Krusty Burger meat from.
Very possible.
And later on that evening, Bart is awoken by an unexpected visitor.
Okay, a few ground rules. Everything I say, I want five of. Five Krusty Burgers.
Got it. Five Krusty Burgers?
No, I thought I was clear. 25 Krusty Burgers.
125 Krusty Burgers?
No, that's not what I... Fine.
Can I really toss this thing she's so crazy about? Damn right I can. I'm bad to the bone. Who the hell are you?
I'm your guilt.
I don't have any guilt.
You do now.
Don't worry, Bart. I'll protect you. I'm denial. Ay, caramba!
Krusty Burger scene. I want 125 Krusty Burgers.
Yeah. So you're saying you want 625 Krusty Burgers?
No, I mean, yeah, that's fine. One of my favorite things, I don't know if this is morbid, but I love when in TVs and movies, the snapping of someone's neck to kill them. Mm-hmm. It's like my favorite way someone gets killed.
It's very satisfying.
And like when I crack my neck myself, like I do that, like I take my head and go, like pretend to kill myself. I don't pretend. I try.
See, it doesn't of course.
Work. It's one of the coolest things. Like when the action star just goes up behind someone and snaps them. It's also like very visually and like the sound, like even if it's like a main character or minor character, like just gets their neck snapped. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's brutal and efficient. It's like, I remember like in like elementary or middle school, there was always a rumor that you could punch a guy in the nose, break his nose bone, and then shove that, and you like give a like a heel of your hand up the nose so that broken bone goes into the brain. And I don't know if that's true, but I just remember always thinking that that was such a cool way to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I'm like in like a fantasy world, not like that I had aspirations of getting revenge on my gym teacher. Oh, that was specific.
Wait, Steve.
Huh?
Wasn't your dad the gym teacher?
Oh, yeah. What a coincidence.
Yeah. No, I remember that rumor, too. Lots of... It's kind of funny how, like, the rumors when you're a kid, like, you think it's just from that school.
Yeah.
Because there's always a rumor of the kid that has the peanut butter on his dick that his dog eats, right? That happens in every school.
Right. And there's always, like, the rumor of one girl who gave, like, multiple hand jobs to somebody.
Yeah. I was both of those things.
Sure. But that's you were very efficient about the hand jobs. That's why they called you Jiff.
Yeah. Jeff.
Jiff. Jiffy.
Oh, Jiff. Yeah. All right.
We get Patton Oswalt as Guilt.
Yeah, I like some Patton.
Mm-hmm. And also the character looks kind of like, what is it, Igor from Treehouse of Horror?
Hugo?
Hugo, that's what
the,
it is.
The real Bart? Or exactly. the good one? That one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, let's go back to the Krusty combo, Steve.
Alrighty.
All right, here's what's on the menu here. We have a Krusty Burger.
Krusty Burger Jr.
A Krusty Chicken, spelled with a K.
Mm-hmm. A Rib Witch.
Ooh, it's back. We have a Quarter Pounder, spelled with a K.
We have K-Chicken K-Nuggets. Again, chicken nuggets, but with Ks.
The McKLT.
So it's crusty lettuce and tomato.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
But also, is it why is that the one Mick thing?
Yeah. Is it crusty lettuce? Like crunchy, like crusty lettuce?
And they deep fry it?
Maybe it's the vegetarian option, right?
Exactly. We then get the K-Chicken K-Caesar salad, or the chicken Caesar salad.
We get carne asada tacos. It looks like tacos.
Yeah. And then we get the chicken chimichanga.
Looking at this menu, it kind of is like a Jack in the Box, because Jack in the Box got burgers and it's got the tacos.
Mm-hmm.
It's more Jack in the Box than a Del Taco.
Yeah, definitely.
Del Taco is mostly Mexican and they got burgers.
Right. But the fact that they have the chimichanga and the tacos.
Mm-hmm. I know people love the Jack in the Box tacos. I'm not a fan. They're just not good.
No, I mean, they're fine for what they are, but they're just, not great.
No. Stay in your lane, Jack.
That's right. The second act begins in the bedroom of young Lisa Simpson, who is dreaming deeply as the echoes of the Beach Boy play faintly in her head. She wakes up startled, discovering that her new hat is gone. She looks through the corners of her room with no luck. She then heads to the car, desperately seeking Sunny, her newly beloved hat. She looks in the back seat, only to find a sea of Krusty Burger wrappers. She then checks the glove compartment to find more Krusty Burger trash. Next, Lisa tries the trunk, where she discovers more fast food waste. She finally pops the hood, but rather than seeing the engine, she finds yet more wrappers and half-eaten burgers.
It's a fun callback to Homer and all of his burgers.
Exactly. Also, I don't know why, but all the burgers in there, it's kind of gross. Took a bite of a cheeseburger and stuffed it in the glove compartment.
Yeah, fries. Like, maybe you're right. He just like has a bite of few and then doesn't want to eat the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, she goes down to the basement, the roof, all with no luck. She then goes to, of course, in the basement, we get to see the fun statue that Mr. Burns got them 100 years ago. So then she goes to the Springfield Police Department to report the missing headwear. Quimby has a book with lineups, but of hats.
Yeah,
so looking through, we get a bowler.
We get a 10-gallon.
We get a chef's hat.
A fedora.
We get a top hat.
A shark hat.
A pork pie, which excites Lisa, but it's not it.
No, sadly. We get Robin Hood.
A pith helmet.
A fez.
The cheese head.
And finally, a Valkyrie helmet. So this is actually how they do lineups in real life. You don't actually like line people up like in the Usual Suspects. And also always pick Kevin Spacey if you're faced with a lineup. But surprisingly, a long time ago, I got to do a police lineup. I worked at a national coffee chain that happens to have green aprons. And there was a person who set fire to our bathroom. And so 6 months after the fact, I had to like go through a binder full of hobos and try and pick out the one that set fire to our bathroom.
And did you pick the right one?
I sure hope so. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 60% sure that I picked the right one.
So then you saw the person who burned down your Pete's coffee.
Sure. I'm pretty sure that I was. I didn't actually expect to be like called about it because they just kind of like started a fire in the trash can in the bathroom and there wasn't that much damage. And I just called the cops because I thought that's what you did.
Yeah. I think I've learned now any situation, I'm not going to, based on like videos I've seen on YouTube and Reddit, you know, I'm not going to be calling the police anytime for anything.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm just scared of, you know, they'll hear my cat meow and like shoot her just because, you know, they're afraid.
The black cat.
Yeah, that too. No. All right, enough of cop talk. So Lisa's hat hunt continues as she rides her bike on the boardwalk. And there's a nice bit of Foley work there as the sound of her tires are hitting the wood and plays against the shuttering doors of closing businesses. Lisa runs into Shauna, who's locking up the sunblock Sam's. And meanwhile, back at home, Bart's guilt is growing.
You have any more yellow hats?
You mean like the one you looked really good in?
Yes.
No.
You're still here. And no offense, but you look worse.
Your lack of remorse just makes me grow. Now you're getting it.
Joke's on you. I like gross things.
So in that clip, the guilt monster ate Bart's pillow and then spit it out. And the guilt monster then eats Bart whole and immediately shits him out of his little butt.
That's funny, but the animation there. He doesn't pull his pants down, just kind of comes through the pants.
It's true, but he does like grunt like he's like letting it out. But yeah, you're right. It is funny that Bart transcends the pants.
Was that a direction to Patton Oswalt? All right, I need you to make a grunt noise like you're taking a huge dump. Thanks, Patton.
You got it. I was in Ratatouille.
You sure were. What?
Because he is, you know,
impressive. Yeah, you know, but it's weird that, you know, he just has to announce that
everywhere he goes. So Bart pleads to be eaten again and defecated again. In the bedroom of Homer and Marge, meanwhile, Marge is excited to learn that there's something new about her husband. Homer says that he's full of surprises, but he can't seem to name another. He then asks if Marge has any surprises of her own.
Okay. Sometimes when I sweep, I make little sweeping noises with my mouth.
Oh, here comes the dustpan.
I can't find Sonny anywhere.
Sonny? No, we gotta find Sonny. Wait, the baby's name is Maggie.
And that was a fun little bit there from Homer.
Mm-hmm.
At least he remembers Maggie's name finally.
Yeah, that's good. It's not Mogaggy anymore. Mm-mm. Also, when his mouth turned into a dustpan, that was fun. They like really locked lips and then went to town on it.
Really weird. Because if you pause it after he's done kissing his wife, mm-hmm. he pulls off and like Lisa.
Oh, I think I got it too.
Well, anyways, the next day, Lisa's sitting sadly at the kitchen table eating some not-so-Cheerios. Bart happily walks in calling his family beach bums and mentioning that he crashed hard of a day of riding waves. Following close behind Bart is his guilt, which is greener and has grown to nearly twice Bart's size. Marge asks Bart if he's seen Lisa's hat, and then the guilt grows even more. Bart stammers, and the beast's size continues to increase. Lisa says that she loves her hat more than any girl has ever loved a hat, and even more than Madeline, who's only wore her hat because, you know, it's part of her uniform.
So, yeah, that scene I was talking about, like, there's the green of the guilt monster, the green of Bart's pajamas, Marge's dress, and the green of the stove, and I guess also Lisa's bowl. But they're all different shades of green, so good use of color, animators.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So the guilt monster then blows his nose on the kitchen corn curtains and then sticks his hand in the waffle iron, eating the charred flesh. We then go to Moe's, where the grizzled bartender doesn't like what he's seeing, and that's Homer playing multiple games of chess against Lenny, Carl, and Barney, beating them all.
Homer, you're playing like Polagivsky at Mar del Plata!
Yeah, Homer, you're some kind of a idiot savant.
Hey, I don't come here to be insulted.
Homer, we're just saying you've got a special skill, like a smoking monkey or a urinal cake with an ad on it. Don't tell me you're not flattered by those analogies.
You guys think you're so hot. I can fit in a piece of carry-on luggage.
I'd like to see that.
Hey, can we stop with the idiot savant jokes? Where, like,
yeah.
someone says, you're an idiot savant. Like, hey, don't call me an idiot. That's just tiring.
It is. It's lazy writing.
And haven't the Simpsons done that before?
I think so.
Or any show's done that.
Yeah, it's tired. It's been played out, I think.
Also, you know, stuffing yourself into carry-on luggage. I feel like that's been played out, too.
I think so.
Okay, well, that was the redeeming joke of that scene there, Steve.
Yeah. So, Moe then presents Lenny with a piece of rolling luggage, which Lenny swiftly jumps into, and then he puts his leg behind his head and contorts his body into the suitcase. He discovers it in there, he's alone with his thoughts, which is the healthiest thing to do, is to let himself out. Mo rolls Lenny into a spare room among other luggage, all full of people who are punching to get free. We then dive deeper into Homer's past.
So, Homer, how did you get so good at chess?
I played against my dad.
Was that fun?
It was, until I learned the pieces weren't licorice. We played every day after my mother left us, and he won every time. And every time he won, he laughed that horrible laugh.
Ah, Mona!
So I found a professor who lived nearby, a master of the game, kind, patient, devoted to me. I went every day.
You are ready now.
Thanks for the lessons, Professor.
You remind me of my son.
Oh, where is he now?
He's right over there. He just doesn't like chess.
I went back to play my dad.
We had a beautiful thing here, and you had to ruin it by getting good. No more chess in this house.
But, Dad, it's our thing.
Well, we'll find another thing. You listen to the radiator hiss while I drink whiskey under this naked light bulb.
Well, it's interesting that the psychological problems that Abe's having, because, you know, he's lost Mona. And so the one thing that he can't control in his life is always beating his son at chess. He always knows he has the upper hand.
Right.
And now that Homer can beat him, it's, you know, he lost that power, too.
Wow.
You know, this time, Abe, you know, he should be seeing help. He should be going to BetterHelp for, you know, psychiatric help.
Yeah. And what's great about BetterHelp is you can talk to somebody, and, you know, if they are not the right fit for you, you can change counselors free of charge.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Abe, if BetterHelp was there for Abe, I think he wouldn't be this way to his son, and he would have treated his son better, raised him better, just with the help of an experienced professional from BetterHelp. Sign up today, betterhelp.com/annoyedgruntboys.
They have counselors in all 50 states, and they're growing all the time. So yeah, that's right. Offer code annoyedgruntboys at betterhelp.com.
And we'll see you at stamps.com.
BetterHelp is not a law firm.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Shave your nuts.
The joke of the chess professor, too, like, you remind me of my son. He's over there. I don't know if I'm supposed to, because it was an obvious joke, right?
Yeah. And for the people who have not watched the episode, the son was playing with a Rubik's Cube to show that he was actually smart. Also, he just didn't prefer to play chess.
Right. What would you prefer, chess or Rubik's?
Well, I don't like people. I'm also scared of cubes. But how about stickers off? And...
Yeah. How about this ball, Steve?
Oh, a ball.
I see the ball got away from you. Keep trying.
Jeremy's Iron.
That's my porn name.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Anyways, that chess master has some books there.
Mm-hmm.
He had Master of Checks.
Boogie Nights, Chess in the Disco Era.
Why Can't Black Move First by Malcolm X.
Chess jokes. So back at Moe's, Homer takes a deep swig of Duff, saying that it was a sad life, but he wasn't affected. And then he grabs a handful of change from the tip jar and shoves it in his mouth.
Ugh.
Ugh, gross. Also, nobody tips Moe dollar bills.
I know. I just thought that too. I'm like, well, I was looking at it, like, those are coins, but they just look like buttons to me. What if they're just buttons? But you're right, I think it's just coins.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's not a rare 1943 copper penny in there.
Yeah, the Kissing Lincoln?
Yeah, the Kissing Lincoln. Anyways, we head back to the living room of 742 Evergreen Terrace, where Bart is on the couch watching TV with his guilt. He's grown to the size of an adult, looking like a beer-gutted Incredible Hulk. They watch on as an episode of Itchy and Scratchy plays. It's called The Garfield Assassination. It's a fun play on words.
Mm-hmm.
President Garfield, who was assassinated. The cartoon shows stripeless Garfield, probably for legal reasons. Garfield is offering his cousin Scratchy a piece of lasagna with a half-assed impersonation of Lorenzo Music, or maybe Bill Murray.
Yeah.
That Dan Castellaneta puts on. Bart admits what he did to his sister.
I brought you more lasagna, cousin.
You know these cartoons are made by exploiting Korean children?
You ruin everything. Bye. listen, I have to tell you something. I was jealous, and I threw your hat away. Oh, well, that went a lot better than I thought.
Why did you do it?
I don't know. The important thing is you gotta forgive me right now. I feel kind of guilty.
Then I hope your guilt will grow and grow and grow. And no matter how much you try to pretty it up, it'll still be the most hideous thing you could imagine.
I think it's funny in the beginning there with Bart's guilt saying that, you know, it's all part of Bart's mind, right?
Right.
And then Bart's guilt saying that it exploits Korean children, animation. So mm-hmm. Bart knows that. I mean, this is funny.
That's true. Yeah, that is funny. The guilt monster goes through a transformation, getting bigger and bigger. And eventually when Lisa talks about prettying him up, he looks like, Fiona from Shrek. But he's a lady dressed as a contestant. And then he turns into a fifth grade math book, which is horrifying to a fourth grader.
I mean, it's horrifying to me.
Yeah, there's some long division there and maybe an intro to geometry. We then head to the Springfield Chess Club, which has a gold plaque that reads, check for bullies when exiting. But unfortunately, Homer and Marge don't check, and they're being chased by Jimbo, Kearney, and Dolph.
So at Springfield Elementary, we're in the cafeteria. Bart uses a yardstick to push a cupcake to Lisa as a peace offering. Lisa declines the offer, so Bart ups the ante first with an 8-disc CD set of poems of Emily Dickinson, read by Elizabeth Warren, and then a box of cruelty-free saxophone reeds from wood that fell off, then a piggy bank and a hammer, and then finally a live bunny rabbit. Lisa still says no to the offerings, and then Nelson comes in to find some of the gifts useful, and at the Bolorama, Mo may have found the source of Homer's chess skills.
A bunny and a hammer? Well, my mom did say bring home dinner.
Homer, listen, hey, I got something very scary to tell you. Now, I was on this alt-suicide subreddit, you know, just checking in, and I found out why you are so good at chess.
Go on.
Chess represents your desire to kill your father.
What's the... That's ridiculous! Now, I'm here to bowl.
Mo does seem like a Redditor.
Oh, yeah. I could see him definitely, you know, dabbling in some subreddits that are less than savory.
Yeah, like Simpsons shitposting.
That's right. And r/aw. Who doesn't love animals?
The poor bunny.
Poor bunny.
Unless they're going to eat the hammer.
Maybe. Maybe they just have the bunny bless it.
Yeah. Hammer, don't hurt them.
And I'll have you know, if you type in alt-suicide, on Reddit, that is, the first thing that appears is from the subreddit OnlyFansGirl101, entitled Big Titty Alt Suicide Girl Goth Girlfriend Next Door. So there you go.
So that's actually what Mo was doing.
Yeah.
He was pounding off.
Yeah, just looking at pornography.
I was shopping for pornography. Back at the bowling alley, Steve, Homer mm-hmm. envisions the bowling pins as the heads of his dad, and Abe as the pins, warning him they end up in the gutter, which is a fun play on words there. Mm-hmm. He throws multiple strikes, hurting the imagined visages of Abe, and grab his head, then appears in the ball dispenser, repeatedly being flattened by bowling balls, and Homer realizes that Mo might be right.
Oh, no. Oh, but yes. On the other side of town, Bart takes to his bike with his guilt riding on the handlebars. They head to the dump to retrieve the lost hat. Luckily, when they arrive, they find that the hat, known as Sunny, is right where Bart threw it. But, unfortunately, he threw it on the car, and that car is then smashed by a compactor into a metal cube. Bart cries out, "My hat!" And good old Gil comes by and cries out, "My car! And my house!" And then our third act starts back at the Simpsons household, where Homer is throwing chess pieces into the burning fireplace. Not wanting him to give up, Marge has reached out to an expert to talk to him via Skype.
Oh, I don't think any chess master or even international master could understand how I feel.
I'm world chess champion Magnus Carlsen.
I understand Norwegian!
When I heard a fellow chess player had a mental problem, I Skyped at once.
I'm not a chess player anymore. From now on, I'm only playing Stratego.
I cannot play Stratego. I'm scared of the bomb.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Homer, I'm afraid you cannot run away from chess.
The reason I got into chess was because it didn't involve running.
I share your disdain for exercise. Now I will say something with all the emotion a Norwegian can muster. To find your true feelings, you must finish your final chess match with your father. I'm sorry you could out for a second. Did you gasp? Then you will nod. Then you will eat a piece of cheese while the wife doesn't look. Then you will undo the top button of your pants. I'm always 3 moves ahead.
Now, you criticized Dan's reading earlier for being a little lazy. But luckily, the guest star really brought it.
You know, Magnus Carter's not an actor.
Mm-hmm.
For a chess, professional chess player, or it's probably the most energy any chess player.
That's true, ever. Yeah.
And, yeah, they use Magnus a lot in this, too. It's like...
Yeah, I know.
You have like an actor that sometimes guests appear and like just has like one line.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can actually act, but nope.
Yeah,
I'm not faulting Magnus. Obviously, just it is funny because it is just like read this script. It's almost like us.
Mm-hmm. Say words, monkey.
Yeah.
So the screen of Homer's laptop then shows text that says, "Now your car is being towed." And Homer looks outside to find that, in fact, his vehicle is being towed. And back at the dump, the guilt monster is carving the Bad to the Bone tattoo into his arm as Bart simps on Buzz Cola, contemplating how to get that lost hat back.
Bart sips on. That sounds like Simpson.
Simpson. Oh, you're right.
Bart sips on.
Simpson. I'm going to use that more often.
Why was Homer parked across the street?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Anyways, he figures he doesn't need to move the cube just to get the hat back. But to do this, he's going to have to sink real low. So he's going to need help from God. God Johansson. Bart has Rod and Todd Flanders pray to lift the cube. While the two boys experience some Stranger Things style nosebleeds, their work is not successful.
So Bart kind of passes out there and he spills the soda and sees that it melts the metal of the cube. Luckily for Bart, though, he's not a car. So he then chugs the sody pop, which results in a festering hole in his stomach. Bart then fills a kiddie pool full of the Buzz Cola, and then he hands the Flanders boys pray again to elevate the cube. Bart pushes the pool underneath the hunk of metal, and then as Rod and Todd think evil thoughts, the metal falls to the drop into the pool. The cola bubbles eat away at the cube, allowing Bart to grab that hat.
Remember we were talking about earlier about things you'd hear in school, you know, like the punching thing that you said. Do you remember like Coca-Cola? Like you say you can like, if you have like dirty, corrosive things, you put Coke on it and it dissolves it.
Yes.
And we tried that. Remember like we had like dirty pennies. We had dirty pennies at the pizza place and we put it in a cup and put Coke on it and then like had it sit overnight and then came back and like the dirt from the pennies was gone. It was like a bright, shiny copper penny again.
Yeah, it was. That's kind of frightening, actually.
And so when you hear things like, yeah, if you drink too much Coke, your teeth will dissolve. I'm like, I believe that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a funny scene. Anyway, so Ned confronts his boys about performing miracles, but they explain that Jesus is doing it through them, which, you know, is just fine for the old Simpsons neighbor, you know.
That's right.
Steve, what do you think of the whole weird Stranger thing or like mystical, like using God, like it, as the story?
I don't know. We're watching a cartoon, I realize. And so you can play around with reality, but this whole scene is a little weird because, the hole in his stomach and then having Rod and Todd pray up the cube. It's a little breaking the reality that we know of The Simpsons, and I find that to be a little weird.
Yeah, you could do this on, you know, like a Family Guy, of course, that kind of thing. You could do this in a treehouse, but yeah, you wouldn't see like season 6 like them doing this. I mean, there's a whole episode, Lisa the Skeptic, where, you know, she thinks that the miracle is happening, but it's not.
Right.
This is the one scene in this episode. I don't know if it's the one, but it's the one that just kind of throws me off. Like, you guys were doing pretty good so far, like keeping the reality, because even the monster is fine because it's just Bart's imagination.
Exactly. It's a manifestation of his guilt. So right. Yeah, that was fine. I totally agree. And this scene does kind of break the laws of reality.
Seems like a simp soul way. Simp song. It just seems like a weird way to like try to resolve this story of getting the hat back when there could have been something else maybe to choose. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then it's like, oh, and God did it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could almost have like, if you want to talk about like old episodes, you could have like the Bart Sells His Soul where he had to like go on a whole journey to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he could have had a similar thing where maybe some other little girl finds the hat and she loves it and he has to steal it from her for some reason.
Yeah, I think I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, I agree. That's a good one.
Homer then heads to the Springfield retirement castle to face off against his father in one final game of chess. At first, Grandpa doesn't even remember that he plays the game, but then the battle gets underway. Homer is drinking water, and Abe's making his dentures dance in an attempt to distract the son. Homer counters by flossing, which he's done 2 weeks in a row now, Grandpa responds by washing his hair. Homer hands Marge chess pieces for her to polish, while Abe dons dark sunglasses and a hoodie like that of a pro Texas Hold'em player. Homer then tries some ribbon dancing to pull some of his father's focus. At Moe's, a crowd watches on.
An excellent move by Homer. Yeah! A stout defense by Grandpa. Yeah!
Doesn't anyone want to watch the Super Bowl?
Get lost!
Homer has a win in hand. He merely needs to take Grandpa's knight.
Oh, he's gonna be a new man. A new man, you hear me?
Can I go? It's like 4 a.m. for me.
Sure, fine. Who is that guy?
Magnus Carlsen, my cousin.
Isn't a father more important than a victory? I've never really known either.
You resign? Dad, it seems I love you. Can't you say it seems you love me too?
Oh, my son loves me. Now I can die in peace.
Really?
Hold your horses!
He should have said, hold your knights.
Yes.
Or hold your doctor horse. Yeah, it would have been a nice fun callback if he said, hold your doctor horses.
Yeah.
I do like the Magnus, actually, the Moe's there.
Mm-hmm.
The line read like, it's like 4 a.m. here. I think that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then that one guy is like, does anyone watch the Super Bowl? That's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah. I also like the fact that, you know, he's Carl's cousin.
I mean, it kind of tracks in a way. Well, they use, so Carl Carlson is, the last name is S-O-N, whereas Magnus is S-E-N. But Magnus is from Norway, so that Norwegian area, you know, a lot of like his family, that side could have moved to Iceland.
True.
And when he says that's his cousin, it could be true because, you know, Carl's adopted from his Icelandic parents.
Exactly.
So this tracks. And actually, I think this is after the saga of Carl. So, yeah.
Further, you know, building that history of Carl for when we finally get that long saga of his birth parents.
Exactly.
So right. Bart runs home, hat in hand, eager to get to his sister. He runs up the stairs shouting, Lisa, stupid Lisa, I've got something to show you. He then bursts into a room saying that he found Sunny. Lisa retorts that she doesn't want the hat anymore, but Bart feels that she doesn't have any choice. Lisa then tells her brother that she'd be better off starting with the other Simpsons sibling.
I told you, the wound won't heal. Your best bet is to forget me and start fresh with Maggie. She likes raisins, Bart. Give her raisins.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older than we would have?
He's trying to be nice.
Now what's your problem?
Oh, shut up! I forgive you!
You forgive me?
Yes, in the right hat, anything is possible.
Why does everyone feel so good when I leave?
The guilt monster then floats to the sky, where he runs into a plane that's flying by. He then lands in the cooling tower of the nuclear power plant, where he's mutated to an even more gigantic beast. Monty feels like he can find that creature to be useful. So is that Bart's imagination still? Does Bart see?
Yeah, I think so.
I find that one okay, that joke okay over the Rod and Todd.
Because it's like you're dipping your toe over the line slightly, but you're not like walking across that line of reality.
Right.
So back at home, Lisa and Bart are once again friends, and Homer is proud that some of his best fathering is done when he's not around. Homer then faces his own guilt, but Homer tells the Beast that he's got plenty of other demons and that that guy will have to get in line. We then see several of Homer's other demons, such as...
We got a Sloth, which is portrayed by a Homer monster drunk in pajamas.
Gluttony, which is an oversized Homer munching from a cornucopia of chicken wings, which sounds good.
We got Lust, which is a drunken and presumably horny Homer.
We got Envy, Homer in a suit who is literally green.
And then we get a scared Homer, a deceased Homer, and then the specter of death. We then return to the couch where the story began.
So we learned Bart has a conscience.
Ha ha! You have a conscience! Ugh.
Closed set!
My mom's dating your gaffer.
Jack, is that true?
I'm not proud of it.
Well, you seem pretty proud when you ate all our ramen noodles.
Now this too, breaking the fourth wall and making it like it's a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because it kind of works with the couch gag that we had.
You're right. And also, I thought it was funny that when Lisa's telling Bart to become friends with Maggie, she tells him that he likes raisins, like that they're aware of the California raisins that were in the opening as well.
There we go. It all fits. And of course, Lisa was the one who stole the hat.
That's right. And then she put some flowers on it to disguise it.
And then Homer ate those flowers.
It's a secret shame.
Let's take a break and finish our discussion.
All righty. We'll be right back.
Listen, I gotta know. Do you chess guys get groupies?
Homer, I wish you could stop. These Skypes aren't free.
Yes, they are.
I still don't want to talk to you.
All right, Steve, we're back. Let's wrap up the Cat in the Hat with our usual visual gags or jokes and our review. Then we'll find out what we're watching next episode.
Sounds wonderful.
All right. I'll have to say that for my visual shirt tattoo design, I mean, is the obvious choice just like the many phases of Bart's guilt it's monster? There's that. But I think a really fun one that, you know, I don't think we'll get people to understand what it is. It's going to be Lenny in his suitcase, but just like a suitcase with Lenny's arms out. And nice. That's it. No context.
I like it.
How about you, Steve? What do you want visualized on a shirt or tattoo or poster?
I think the two that I have are not direct scenes, but you'd have to make them. My first would be a sports type shirt commemorating the volleyball battle of boobs versus butts.
You mean like a jersey? Like,
well, yeah, or like a Super Bowl t-shirt, you know, that's
right.
But it's boobs versus butts. That's my first draft. But I think what I'm going to go with is it's just a shirt that says the pieces of chess. And then it has Homer, like it shows a diagram of each piece, but Homer's description of them. So
yeah,
you got your king, you got your Mrs. King, Slit Eyes, King Ashtray, Dr. Horse.
No, I think that'd be a great shirt. Like it'd be like a chessboard or just like instructions or like name the pieces. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. How about jokes wise? What do you got to chuckle to?
Like I said, the chess pieces made me laugh in that scene. I don't want to possibly take away yours, but the old Jewish man saying that that's the only mate that he hasn't buried is a really fun, dark joke. And then other than that, couch gag was a lot of fun. I also really enjoyed the bit where Homer's at the drive-thru and just the, like, I here are the rules. I want five of everything. Like, that made me laugh. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think those are my two favorite scenes.
I enjoyed that old Jewish man line. I think Homer playing the chess scenes, I enjoyed his, like, going back to him playing chess with his father. Not saying it's, like, funny, but I enjoy seeing a little Homer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget the orange buffoon turning into a troll.
It's true.
Maybe it's because I came up with it, but when, Lisa said, I'll take it to no one. And you mentioned it. I'm like, no, wait, she just took it. She just stole it. I'm going to say that's my favorite scene because I solved the case.
You're right. That did like really kind of shape the episode for me. So that's smart.
All right. I went ding, 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 nice. Ding. All right. Well, how about just let's just talk about what we about the episode.
Alrighty.
That's what it's called. I kind of enjoyed this episode. I find that newer seasons to be more enjoyable than those mid, late teens, early 20s, episodes of The Simpsons. There's about like two or three things in here that I wasn't a fan of. As in just like the whole, like the Stranger Things, Rod and Todd lifting the, using the God thing. I already mentioned that I wasn't a fan of that. It just seemed weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to get out of writing that. And yeah, there's some jokes that I said, like, nah, stop using the you're a real idiot savant joke. And the person takes that as an offense because the word idiot. But, you know, I enjoy the, like I said, the backstory with seeing more of Homer and how Abe abused him to be Homer, how Homer is, you know, grown up to be alcoholic, obese, a horrible father and husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Abe's fault.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I mean, I don't feel like this is like a weird, like, canon breaking with Homer all of a sudden knowing chess. I kind of find that enduring. I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I agree.
And some fun callbacks too, of course, with the Bort license plates in the beginning. And even like the way Bart's looking for the tattoos, I think is classic Bart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just much how he got the tattoo of Mother, you know. And oh, you know, that would have been a good line if he referenced like, I'll get a temporary tattoo. And they even just said, I used to have a tattoo, but
yeah,
I ruined Christmas and they had to spend the money. And oh, you guys don't understand.
Oh, that's a really good missed opportunity
there. But I love Patton Oswalt playing his conscience. I think with Bart and Homer's storyline, I think those two could have been their own separate stories and not have a B plot.
Hmm.
I think you said earlier too, with Bart sells his soul, and this is kind of like an easier version, like you said. Huh. Yeah, I guess I enjoyed it. It's not the best of episodes. I'd watch it again if it was on. I'm not turning it away. There's some fun visual stuff and jokes and the breaking of the fourth wall, which, yeah, that's okay. So out of a ranking, let's see here. Magnus Carlsen, I guess, is rated according to the International Chess Federation. He's he's number one, but the rank point is 2,847. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what that means. So out of 2,847, I'm going to give this episode a party number.
Ooh.
We're going to party like it's 1999.
All righty.
So I'll give it a 1,999 out of 2,847. That's roughly about a 70%.
That's a pretty good score.
We'll give it a C. Sure. Yeah. C for chess. Or if C this was Krusty Brand chess, it'd be a K.
There you go.
How about you, Steve? Did this episode fare better than the past couple episodes we've been watching?
So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, because we've had two stinkers in the past 2 weeks. And so preparing for this episode, you know, we knew going in that Lisa gets a hat and Homer plays chess. And I'll be honest with you, I was not looking forward to it going in. Also, that's they missed an said. Opportunity for any sort of a Malibu Stacy reference.
Oh, yeah. Now that we're coming up with, like, where's the callbacks?
Yeah.
Again, yeah.
So, yeah, there are some missed opportunities there. But I found this episode to be really enjoyable. Like, Patton Oswalt is always fun to see. And I love the way that he really dives into his work. It's always like noticeably him, but he kind of loses himself in the role. And I thought that he played the guilt well. And yeah, I feel like Bart was very Bart-y in it, you know, being pretending to be a badass, but also being kind of like a little wussy fat boy. And so, yeah, I think that overall it was a good time. I thought that the characters played themselves well. I thought it was sweet without trying too hard. I mean, it wasn't perfect. I didn't love the gag with the Pooh's children on a octopus leash. I feel like that was just kind of grab for something. Mm-hmm. Same with Dr. Hibbert and the eyes. And just to have Hibbert say, that's a bunch of jive. That's a little weird. Probably wouldn't fly today. Those were the bad things, but I think that the jokes were pretty okay, and it was, you know, enjoyable. I like the stories, and I agree with you completely that Homer playing chess isn't canon breaking. It's just kind of a fun fact about him, and how they got there seems earnest and earned. So the longest chess match to play in the professional games was 269 moves. And talking about 269 moves, I'll give this 200 out of 269 moves, which works out to be about a 74%.
All right.
Yeah, solid C.
Or if it's crusty, solid K.
That's right.
All right. I hope you guys have fun with this episode as much as we did. Steve, I know this last week apparently was the 700th episode of The Simpsons.
Wow.
I haven't done this in a while. I'd like to call an audible.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'll allow it. What do I got to lose? Let's do it.
All right. I think we should do the 700th episode.
700th episode? Why, that's season 32, episode 16. Why, that's Major Things. What happens in that, Craig?
Well, I think The Simpsons go back in time, or they talk about a story that takes place in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a secret from Flanders' past that's revealed.
Wow.
And then we see a never before seen room in the Simpsons home.
A new room.
Anyways, it's a Christmas episode, Steve. Spoilers.
Oh, well, you know, it's March. Why wouldn't we have a Christmas episode?
March Madness ends with Christmas.
Yeah.
All right, looking forward to watching the 700th episode.
Ooh, it's not spooky. I don't know why I made a ghost noise.
Well,
yay.
Well, it's a Christmas episode, and you're supposed to tell scary ghost stories.
Yep, and you know, I know people who got a person who got visited by three ghosts. That's pretty spooky.
Oh, and like if you're a kid, you get stuck at home on Christmas by yourself. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, that would be scary. Does that happen to you often?
When I'm nine? Yeah. I'm always home alone.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Gremlins took place during Christmas. That's a scary movie.
Supposedly, yes. It's a very good movie.
All right. Well, until then, you can check out our TeePublic site, which is teepublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys, and contact us on the social medias at 138simpsons with the platforms of Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app and leave us 5 stars or the equivalent, and you can leave a review. But it doesn't have to be a real review. It can just be, you know, a question, a random thought, or your favorite chess piece.
Or your favorite opening. Chess indeed. Opening.
Oh, right, right.
Your favorite moves. Okay. For this week, I've been half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been your other half-annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, keep reaching for the skis.
Boobs versus butts. Butts win.
The baby's name is Maggie.